We're going to refer to Matthew chapter 16, and we're going to begin reading at verse 13 in just a moment. Matthew chapter 16, and beginning at verse 13. The main idea is that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. That said, consider some things. The churches of Christ have a promise of continuance through human history. The Bible teaches us that the church and churches of Jesus Christ shall continue in the earth without ceasing until His second coming. What is perpetrated as church history in Christendom is very skewed. So you've got to be very careful. People don't even know how to start on this topic and searching it and trying to tell. So many don't know the difference between Catholicism, Protestantism, and the true churches of Christ. But there is a big difference. But know this, whether we can prove the history of the churches or not, it's still true. And I want to read this excerpt. I'll share it again later with you via email in the days ahead, quoting this man, a pastor out of I believe it was Mississippi. I cannot quite remember. Pastor Jason Howard said this. I actually have to back this up. It's not true. This actually comes from a periodical by Thomas Williamson out of Chicago, Illinois. And he's quoting a Joseph Hook who wrote this in 1701. Comes out of a dissertation of his, A Necessary Apology for the Baptized Believers. And he said this, "But we think it sufficient that we can prove all we teach by the infallible records of God's Word, and if all histories and monuments of antiquity had been overlaid and or burnt, as many have been, so that we had never been able to show from any book but the Bible that there were ever any of our persuasion in the world till within a few years, yet we should think that book enough to prove the antiquity of our persuasion, that we are not a new sect, seeing that we can make it appear by that one book that our persuasion is as old as Christ and the apostles. And on the contrary, if we could show from approved history that multitudes of all ages and nations since the apostles' days, have been of our persuasion, yet if we could not prove by the word of God that our persuasion is true, would signify very little." That's a big deal. He said it right on. We have the Word of God as the proof of this doctrine of the perpetuity of the churches of Christ. So with that in mind, I'll just share a few remarks out of Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18. And there it reads, "When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets.' He saith unto them, 'Whom, but whom say ye that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it, that is the answer to my question. The flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, what's he saying? Upon the rock of the truth of who I am. That's what he's saying. He's referring to what truth Peter had pronounced, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, referring to the church. Now, when a man can make a forthright statement like this, it's proof positive that he is a child of God. Peter wasn't quoting some profound statement that he had read of some other man's writing, or quoting what he had heard another man say. What he professed was what was in his heart concerning Jesus Christ, and he blurted it out with the innocence of a little child. So verse 18, Jesus says, and I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, my body of baptized believers that are covenanted together to carry out my commandments. He says, I will build. It's a future verb, first person singular future verb. It's the word oikodomeso, or oikodomeo. It's two words. Oikos is house, and demo. You could recognize the word like demonstrate. Demo, to build, to construct, to make. And so both together is to build up, to edify. And it's also translated to embolden. I'll build my church. And then it says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, referring to the church. The gates of hell. I want you to notice that it says gates, plural. Gates, plural. To prevail means that something has the strength or the might, the ability and the power. In this case, to prevail against the Lord's church. Gates are plural. These gates of hell, Hades. And it does refer now to the place where the souls of the unbelieving dead go until the time of the last resurrection. New Testament history is filled with many gates, which lead men, women, boys, and girls not to Christ, but to eternal destruction. These gates do nothing to alter their course from the condemnation for sins against God. But gates, there are many. And there's a gate suited for everyone. If you don't know Christ, you're going through a gate. Mark it down. There's a gate for you, and it's leading straight to hell. There's the gate of humanism. Man is improving. If we prefer, there's a gate of religionism. We can worship God any way we choose. He accepts all of it, right? No. There's a moral gate. We're not so bad that God won't overlook our minor faults and failures. There's a save the world gate. Climate change is such a gate. People give their lives for causes like this. There's a freedom gate. Let's throw off all the restraints. But there's a gate for everyone without Christ. What is it? These gates represent all of the errors to which those without Christ are attracted to an attempt to satisfy a need that only Christ can fill. So the masses of lost souls spend their lives in pursuit of this gate. And that gate, but in the end, all leads to a final and eternal destruction. Enter ye in at the what? The straight gate. It's a single gate. It's a narrow gate. For wide is the gate, Jesus said, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many be there be which go in thereat. But what's the point of Christ concerning these gates that we read of in Matthew 16, verse 18? They shall not prevail against his church. That's what he says. These gates don't have the strength, the might, and the power to circumvent what? The churches of Christ. He said so. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What is a church? It's a house of God. It's a congregation of baptized believers. It is also the repository of God's truth. We know that from 1 Timothy 3:15. It's called the house of God there, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and ground of the truth. So in light of our text in Matthew 16:18, the emphasis is upon the church being the means by which the singular truth of Christ is preserved in the earth. As there could be no disciple of Christ without acknowledging that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, there can't be a church aside from that. There's no such thing as a church that doesn't know this basic fact. It is the foundation upon which the church is built. And that's what Jesus is saying here. And it's this church that Christ promises that the gates of hell can't prevail against. She shall continue until Christ's second coming. There's no question about that. None. Not in my mind, and I don't believe it's in yours either, if you know the Lord and you believe the Scriptures. Though so many errors, we know this to be true, though so many errors have come to directly contradict Christ's little flock, the truth that she has, the truth which the Lord has committed to us for keeping, she has continued unchanged in her constitution, in her doctrine, in her government, in her hope, in her mission, and in her message, if there are true church of Jesus Christ. That's just a matter of fact. To this very day, it's been that way. There has always been a true church like that in human history. And that's good. That's wonderful. That's the power of God. That's Jesus Christ keeping his promise to us. It seems, though it seems that many churches which we believe are of the Lord are so infected with error, yet there are churches, and there always will be churches, which are the same as that first church which Christ called to himself during his earthly ministry. The doctrines then are still today. What a blessing. There are some even today that are faithfully carrying the same message as that Jerusalem church priest so many years ago. We know they're few, but that's not the point. They're still here. One would think that against such a flood of error, that the churches of Christ couldn't stand a chance of succeeding in their mission, much less continue to exist as she has to this day. But she has, by the grace of God. And this perpetuity is attributable to the promises of the Lord to us. He keeps his promises. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Ephesians 3, verse 20 and 21. Now unto him, referring to the Father, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, what, by the Holy Spirit. Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, throughout how long? Throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. In Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, we have the Great Commission. Jesus said to that little flock, it's always been a little flock. It's never been a very popular flock in the earth, but it's still the flock. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, take note, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And he's still with us today. 2,000 years later, he's kept his word. Just before he ascended to the right hand of the Father in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we'll read this one more. But ye shall, Jesus speaking to his church, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The churches would reach to the furthest places in the earth. We don't know what the Lord has for us in the new year. But it's certain that he shall keep his churches in the earth until he returns again from glory. No question about it. He works in us to learn the teachings of his word, to believe all that it says, to desire to make personal application of it to our lives. I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know. I'm not saying anything about that. The Word of God tells us of some very difficult days ahead. For who? The churches of Jesus Christ. It's not going to get better. You remember we were talking about the pessimillennialist? Remember that a little while back? So be it, but Jesus is coming. I'm an optimillennialist when it comes to that. It's going to get worse, though, for the people of God. We know that. We expect that. You know why? Because that's what the Bible shows us. Churches in the past, though, we need to remember Christ's churches have suffered unmentionable and terrible things at the hands of the religious, for the most part. And that is what is on the horizon again, on a scale like we've never seen before. But that's not the end of the story. It's hard, but that's not all of it. Whatever the will of the Lord is, I know this much. You do too. We know by his word that the world cannot eradicate the churches of Jesus Christ from the earth. Can't do it. While we do not have a promise that our church will continue another day, a month or a year or two or ten, there will be the Lord's churches here. That's the main point. Why, if we're not here, where are we going to be? In the presence of the Lord. This could be the year, brethren. This could be the year that we've been waiting for. It seemed like for so long. But the Christians have been waiting for 2,000 years. And even the first of the people of God from the very beginning of the creation. But the churches shall continue. I need to say this, ask you some questions. We bring this to a close. Have you come to Christ through the straight gate? The narrow way which leads to life? Or are you still going your own way through that popular gate, the widely traveled gate, the gate that leads to destruction? Jesus is the Son of God come to save his people from the wrath of God. Apart from Christ, wrath abides upon you. What do I say? Flee to Christ. Look and live. See that he died in your place. Repent of sins. Turn from your wicked ways. And believe on Jesus Christ. And what? You'll be saved. Do you believe on him? If you do, then what's next? Be baptized. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God that died for your sins, the next commandment to you is to be baptized. Show the truth of your repentance and faith by obeying the very first commandment upon your life. And I don't say this perhaps like I ought to every time, but if you know the Lord and you're here, join this church. Become a member of this church. And learn all there is to learn, because I know that's what the Lord's put in your heart to do. Learn all there is to learn of Christ doctrinally and practically. Join with this body of disciples and serve Christ faithfully. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention.